you ever wonder what parenting is really like? Do you think that you're the only one that's struggling? Or have you missed out on that amazing hack everyone was talking about? Well, that sounds like you. Grab a seat and get comfy, as you'll be hearing real life stories from parents that are on the same collective journey, a little thing called parenthood. We'll hear from parents, caregivers, and experts as we fumble through this wonderful path together. I'm your host, Rashida, and welcome to the Parents Connecting Podcast. Guys, today I'm going to be talking with Allison Taylor, who is talking about food. As parents, I feel like the food topic is, sometimes the bane of my existence. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I feel like I just don't know what to put on the table. And between working and trying to manage a household, manage relationships, manage your children, manage your own self, food sometimes seems like the last thing I think about, and yet it's the thing that we need multiple times a day to get through the day. So I'm really excited to be sharing this episode where I talk with Allison Taylor, who has her own podcast, Everybody's Gotta Eat, and she walks through how she's figured out how to make meal planning and cooking work for her family. So check out the episode and tell me what you think. Hi, everyone. I have Allison Taylor on the show today. I'm super excited. You guys are going to be in for a treat. We are going to be talking all things food. So as a parent, this is one of my struggle areas, I'm not going to lie. And I'm really excited, Allison, because I think you have some tools in your kit and things that you have been able to offer other parents. You know, let's introduce yourself, who you are, maybe where you live, how many kids you have, and then we'll kind of get into all the food stuff.
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. I am Allison. I am a military spouse. My husband is in the Army, and we have three children, Emma, who is 8, Kendrick, who is 7, and little Angelo Jr., who is 2. So my love for cooking started when I was really young. I've been around the kitchen. I've watched my grandmas cook, my great grandma cook, my mom. And I've always loved it. And I think for me, it was just seeing the joy that it brought my grandma, specifically the joy that it brought her to cook for her family and her friends, the love. It was just like a sign of love for her. Just
do you come from a really big family? Like, do you have a lot of siblings?
I'm in the middle. So there's 3 daughters. So I have 2 sisters. So I mean, bigger than average, I guess. So interestingly, when I was younger, I think I was like 11 or 12 when I would get dinner started, because my mom was a nurse before she retired just recently. So she was a nurse and she would work, you know, those really long shifts. And my dad would get home from work, but he would always want us to get started with dinner so that at least, you know, we could eat at a reasonable time if my mom was working late. And so I remember it sounds so crazy to me now because I have an 8-year-old and she's right. 9. And I'm like, no, I would never want her to be in the kitchen just like independently, you know?
Cooking. But, so what kind of things are you making at that age?
So my family was like super routine. We had a rotation of like spaghetti, tacos, sloppy joes, like very, very basic. My dad and my older sister are very picky. They don't like onion flavor. They don't like mustard. They don't, you know, they're not very adventurous when it comes to trying new things. They're very, you know, they like what they like and that's it. And so, yeah, we had just very simple meals. So it was a lot of easy stuff, you know.
Yeah. Putting things together.
And exactly. Like, yeah. So, and from there, I just loved it, you know, and
once you get more into like the culinary aspect of food, like as you got older, maybe, I don't know, when you left the house, like, did you, you know, when I went to college, I'm like eating like microwave meals. So
yeah, when I was on my own, I did not, you know, get into cooking at all. You know, I love to eat, I love food, but when it's just me,
it's hard, not the same, right? It's really
hard not the same.
Yeah.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I got married, I was like all in. I'm like, ooh,
Oh.
I'm like so excited. I'm gonna just, go for it and make all these interesting meals. And I think that's where it kind of became my love language for myself, for my husband and my kids,
And
is
you were,
being
and so you
together.
were, so once you got married, you mentioned that you were a military wife.
Yes.
So I'm assuming you traveled with him and you had, were you working at the time? Were you able to just focus on cooking? Is that how you really were able to spend the time? Because some of the struggles, at least as I have today, is that cooking takes time. I'm not one of those individuals that can just like throw stuff together. People are who people that can do that are just, they're doing magic. I think it's like, I need like a recipe and that's just my personality and like I need things planned. But so what are where do you fall in the realm of things and did you have like a chunk of time to be able to explore?
I did, yeah. So when we got married, I became a homemaker, pre-kids, and then I'm a stay-at-home mom. So definitely blessed to be able to do that. And yeah, that's when I was really able to spend that time, really just looking up recipes and trying new things. And I did have the time to devote, kind of learn what I do now.
Okay, and so what do you do now? So talk to us about how do you make what do you do in the kitchen?
Yeah, so over the years, I collected all these recipes, and it was great when we just had one and she was a baby, and it was like I still had all this time, right? And then all of a sudden she was mobile, and then we had another kid, and things got crazy, and my second born would not ever want to be put down. Even if she could see me, she wanted me to hold her. And I mean, I would cook and hold her at the same time.
It's
But
the things moms do, I tell
oh
you.
my goodness. At that time, I realized, okay, well, I can't, spend hours making this meal or figuring out what I'm going to make. So over the years, I just would simplify these recipes and make them my own. And just kind of, I just got comfortable. Just, I know you said you need like a recipe and you need it planned out and you can't throw it together, but I think that's just kind of what I've learned to do.
I think practicing and just being in the kitchen, it like helps you do that because my husband is sort of the cook of the family. He can like he'll be chopping things up and I'm like, "Oh, what are you making?" He's like, "Oh, I don't know yet." And then it'll like turn out some like fabulous meal at the end. And I think that, he's and so there's like an insecurity I think on my side. I'm like, "Oh, if I make something it's not going to be as good or, if I don't have something planned." But I do find that, if he's traveling or whatever, and I have the time and I'm in the kitchen, that then you just naturally, anything that you do a while, you just kind of figure out. So it sounds like you've had the practice in advance and then when things got really busy, you were able to make things more efficient for yourself.
Absolutely. And I think some people love cooking and other people don't mind it, and then other people really don't enjoy cooking. And I have always loved cooking, but there was a time where I was like so uninspired. I was just like, it's such a struggle. Like it takes so much mental energy. Like why am I spending so much time like coming up with meals or making my grocery list or, but that's the thing. I need a plan. I need to know what I'm cooking or dinner is not going to get made.
So how do you do that? Do you like spend a few hours on the weekend? Like what's your meal planning slash preparation like? Because I think it's different for everybody. Some people I'm always really surprised, like, I spend the whole weekend, like, the meal prep for the whole weekend. Like, how do you do that? And maybe it's just because I just don't know what tools are out there people are using.
Yeah.
So
And I mean, that works for a lot of families is to meal prep. And I know there's different strategies for that. I don't meal prep.
okay.
The most that I prep is like if I want to make pancakes for breakfast, I will make the batter the night before.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Just
I never
because,
even
like,
thought about that.
when my kids wake up, they're like
They're
hungry.
hungry. Yes.
And I'm like, can I just have my cup of coffee and like chill for a minute,
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, we used to make pancakes when I had one child because, like you said, it was easier with one. You could get up a little early, had a little more energy. And now, and the second one is a boy. The first one's a girl. And man, he wakes up and he wants to eat and he is like
Yes.
pissed if he do not have food on the table. So, so
Yes.
So I honestly never even thought, like, even that's something that's so small, that's like a little nugget. Just prep the pancake batter ahead of time. I love that. I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean that works out really nicely. But as far as like prepping for the whole week, I don't do that. I can't justify spending that time on the weekend. Our time is so precious because my husband is in the military. His hours are crazy, and the weekend is like our time. So what I do is, I guess I do little snippets of time. So I will sit down and be like, okay, I need to think of the meals that I'm making for next week. And so I will just write out the days of the week and then next to them, think of the meals. And I use Pinterest for this a lot. I have pinned a lot over the past almost 10 years of being married. But yeah, so I have like different sections of different varieties of food. So I have like a pasta board, Asian inspired, Tex-Mex. We're big on Tex-Mex, soup, salads. Yeah, you get the idea.
So you
So
have your like
then,
own little recipe book online, essentially.
yeah, exactly. And then it's like it takes off all the pressure of trying to be creative in the moment that you have, just like 5 minutes to think of something. All you have to do is just go to Pinterest and be like, oh yeah, I haven't made fettuccine Alfredo in a while. And then I write that down. And it's not, I'm not looking at the recipe. I'm not looking at the ingredients. I'm just writing, what am I making?
All
And
right,
then
that's
if I get
helpful.
another few minutes or I'm like, inspired to start making my grocery list, then I have the meals planned out. And so then I just look and I'm like, okay, this is what I need for this meal. And I write everything down. And then I'll add the other things that we need for like breakfast or lunch or snacks. Or
Do
household
you,
things.
when you're doing your recipes, because the few times that I have attempted to do like meal planning, it's a pretty long and drawn out process for myself. So that's why my husband like hates it. Like he can put stuff together really, really quickly, and he's like, oh God, we have to plan something, like so we're like really opposite on that. But when I'm trying to plan, I attempt, and maybe this is why it takes so long. Because we'll have leftovers or whatnot, and then things will be in the fridge for a few days, and then we may or may not eat it, and it ends up getting wasted. So then I'm like, I go down like 15 rabbit holes to try to plan one meal where if I cook like beef, right, and I'm putting it into a sloppy Joe, then I can use the leftover beef of the sloppy Joe for pasta the next day. So I'm like, is that like too many steps? Is that why it like gets really complicated? Like, what would your recommendation be in terms of like planning meals? So when you're planning meals, are you just doing them on the individual basis? And you just, what do you do with like leftovers? Or do you plan for leftovers?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think if that's overwhelming for you, if that's dragging you down, don't do that anymore. Take that
Simple,
pressure
right?
off.
Simple. It's like an obvious thing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. Gosh, I go through this too, where I'm like, why am I so stressed out about food? It's just food, but I guess we need it to live. It's one of those things, but oh gosh, it takes so much mental energy, and I don't want that for myself, and I don't want that for other moms, it's such a struggle for so many different reasons, but I do that. Like if I see a recipe that I'm like, oh, I want to make that next week, then I will be like, okay, what is the protein in this dish? If I buy in bulk that specific protein, what else can I make with, if it's chicken, for example, if I get the family pack of chicken breasts or chicken thighs, what else can I make? So that I don't have to be like, oh, now what am I going to make with this chicken? I do like to plan that out. And I also, I make enough food. Usually this works, but sometimes you never know how much your kids are going to eat. So that's really hard. But I only make enough. The recipes I make are only enough for my husband to take leftovers the next day. And then the food is typically gone. And then there's some nights where the kids are really hungry and my husband doesn't have leftovers to take.
So how are you portioning though? So you said your kids are, so you said
7 and almost 9.
7 and 9. And are they a combination of boys and girls or?
Yeah, so my two older ones are daughters, and then the little guy is my son.
And so do you, like, how do you plan for that? Because you're right. Like the kids, sometimes my son, when he was, he's only a year and a half, but he can I mean, he can pound food. Like, I'm like, where is it going in your little tiny little body?
I know. How old is your son?
He's a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah,
my son is two. So two in a few months. So I definitely feel that too. So
do you ever supplement your food or do you always like have it?
Oh, I'm big on that. So there are some things that don't work out for whatever reason. Like you can make something and then the next week, if you try something similar, they don't like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's fine. They're still exploring their likes and dislikes. We have to, you know, be patient with that. But there are times where my son like will not touch what I've made for dinner. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So yeah, I give him a yogurt. Like he is obsessed. He's obsessed with yogurt. And I know, okay, that's definitely enough protein because we do Greek yogurt. And, you know, he's definitely getting enough calories with the whole milk Greek yogurt. So I do that.
Okay. I like that idea. Cause that's the other thing is like when your kids are young or really probably any age, I don't like sameness. So I'm like a person that likes, like if I'm doing cooking, like I like to try different recipes, but then there's always the fear, well, if I try something new, it's going to take me like an hour to cook it and then they're not going to eat it. And then what? I like all this food and nothing else to give them. And so I try as much as I can, if I'm going to give something new, to put something on the plate that they will quote like, but you know, that's like a hit.
No, that's a really good idea. I also like trying new things. And so when I do that, either I put something that they like on the plate or I will try to incorporate something they like into the dish.
Okay.
So, you know, kids love pasta. Kids always love pasta. And so if I'm making, so I made these like unstuffed cabbage roll, like a stovetop dinner. And so you don't have to roll the cabbage. It's just like a cabbage dish. But I'm like, I added rice because I'm like, okay, if I add rice, then they're just, I do a lot of like rice bowls where it's just like the rice is the base. And then I'll add like the vegetable, the meat, the protein or the beans, you know? But anyways, I was thinking like, if I add this rice, then they're gonna think that it's just, you know, one of our rice bowls.
Yeah.
And another thing that I've really tried to do is like, think of food can be really overwhelming for kids. And so I try to give them a small portion, way smaller than you would ever think that they would need. But I don't know. They don't need that much. If you look up if you look up serving sizes for kids of different things, it's so tiny.
It's teeny. I mean, I honestly think that like when you have a kid, somebody should get, there's this chart that I found out way later in life when my kids were a little bit older. But this one mom I talked to, she said her kid was having a lot of challenges with eating and feeding. And somebody had given her this little chart where it was, you know, by age and it was a visual thing that showed like one tablespoon of the serving, because I think the challenging part with food, especially as a mom, like you're constantly worried, is my kid getting enough food and this, and when they're babies, like, are they getting enough milk? But when you see the picture of what they actually like really need, it's really small. And it's so helpful to see something visual, because in everything that if you read about like, you know, oh, you need two servings of this and three servings of this. And it's like, what's a serving? Like, I don't, you know, what is that?
But yeah, so I will give them just kind of a small serving.
Yep. For them to try.
So that it's not overwhelming, because their eyes, I think they get overwhelmed. And it sounds silly as an adult, but
as an adult, honestly, because if I have a huge bowl in front of them, oh my gosh, that's so much. But if it's small, it's doable. So
exactly. So, and then I try to make sure that I'm chopping the veggies either, you know, before or after I cook, but chop the veggies into really small pieces, because I think that can also overwhelm kids. Is like, this is a really big piece of vegetable. I don't want to eat this. But if it's really small, they'll just eat it with the other things
that are in there. So are your kids, would you consider your kids picky, or are they pretty good explorers because you maybe introduced it at such a small, maybe at a young age? I don't know.
I would say we are somewhere in between.
Okay.
My kids will try anything. But they do are like my middle child, she'll like come in the kitchen and look at what I'm cooking and she'll be like, I don't like that. And I'm like, you don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not done. And then she'll end up liking it. And She's very visual. I've learned that she's very visual. So when she sits down and she looks in her bowl, her immediate reaction is like, mm-mm, I don't like it.
So what do you do? So how do you, so like each mom, I think, has their own little, you know, trick in the sleeve to get people to eat. Well, what's yours?
I think from a young age, it was like, you just have to try it. Just try a bite. If you don't like it, we can talk about that. It's just an open invitation to try it from a young age. And my other thing is I'm a 90s kid. So we sat at the table until our plates were gone, were empty. Yep. And you didn't get up until you ate all your food. And having daughters, especially, I know this can be for everyone, but for me, especially having daughters and my relationship with food over the years, I'm not going to be the person that makes them eat everything.
Yeah. I think parenting has really changed, honestly. I think that's the case a lot. Yeah.
And it's really hard because kids don't even know how much they need to eat to sustain themselves. And so there are times where I'm like, okay, I am putting in the 2 tablespoon serving of this dish. I am going to make them eat it all tonight, because my daughters do Taekwondo and it's intense. They're definitely burning calories doing that. And so there are nights where I'm like, okay, mommy's only giving you what you need. So we're going to eat what's in our bowl, but it's not an everyday thing.
Right.
And I'm really big on giving them some autonomy.
Yeah. Free, like the freedom to choose and just knowing that they can try. So like just get them to try it. But then relieving the pressure. Well, if you don't like it, like you don't have to eat it. Try it. It'd be good. It's like, you know, a little nudge and encouragement.
Exactly.
But because I do think that I have noticed, at least for mine, that once the pressure is of like, they have to eat it, they eat it anyways, because it just removes this, like, you know, honestly, like nobody wants to do what somebody tells you to do. I mean, exactly. That's, even as an adult, even if I am hungry and my parents come in and say, here, eat this, I'm like, oh no, I don't, you know, so there's a kid in everybody. So.
Totally. And I also think kids go through phases. I think like us, like we get tired of a certain food and we kind of back away from it for a while and then come back to it later. We have to give them grace for that. And some other things that I try to do is try to let them help even if it's just stirring one little part of dinner, like, you know, they don't have to be in the kitchen the whole time, because I know that's really overwhelming and you just want to get dinner on the table. But if you let them do one thing, then they feel that they contributed and they will eat what they have helped make.
Yes.
It gives them that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
control
then,
almost. Exactly. It's like, oh, I helped. Yeah.
So, and then my oldest daughter went through a phase where she really didn't like cooked broccoli, and I was making it a lot because I'm just like very big on, okay, these are the superfoods. These are like the super vegetables. I'm going to be a staple.
So what are your staples? So sounds like broccoli is one of them.
That's another. Sweet potatoes and spinach.
How do you prep those? Because like those are really great foods. Give me some examples of things that you do with those staples.
So here's another thing that I do. Let's say I'm making tacos and I use ground turkey a lot. So if I'm making like just regular ground turkey tacos, what I will do is I'll get a small sweet potato and I just cook it in the microwave until it's soft. And then once the meat is browned, I put it in there and I just, it's kind of like
a binder almost.
Yeah. And it's like a refried bean, right?
Oh yeah.
So, but you have to start really small. So you can't just like put a bunch of stuff in there, 'cause then they'll notice and then they'll be like, this is different. I don't like it. But if you just start with a small addition, or if you're using spinach, right, just start with a small addition of that food that you want to incorporate. And then you can slowly build over time. But my middle daughter does not like potatoes, except French fries. She does not like any kind of potato, any kind of way, unless it's, you know, fast food French fries. Mm-hmm. But it worked even for her. And I'm not trying to deceive them. If they ask, what is this? I will tell them, you know, I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm just like, if they don't see me cooking in the kitchen and I put this in there, it's like, it takes away their already preconceived notion that they don't like something, you know? So it works. Like they don't notice, because also you're filling the taco with cheese and whatever other toppings they like. And so it's all kind of like, it's in one bite.
It's in mixed in there. Yeah, that's a really good idea. And I think we've done that a couple of times, but it's, there are things that I forget, like with spinach, you can pretty much chop that up and put it in almost anything.
Oh my gosh,
and there isn't a soup. I mean, spinach isn't, if it's mixed well with other stuff, you can't really taste the flavor.
You can't
put it in smoothies and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it's a really good way to get greens, even for like ourselves. Like we're pretty, you know, we fail probably in that department in terms of our veggies, but.
Yeah. I cook with spinach like almost daily.
Oh, you do?
I do. Yeah.
So since you're able to be home, do you make separate breakfasts, lunches, and dinners? Do you guys eat, like, do you make one meal, or are you really cooking like three meals every single day?
No, my daughters eat lunch at school. And then, I mean, I'll make their lunches if they ask me to, but it's like really basic, like, you know, turkey roll up, turkey tortilla roll up, like nothing extravagant. And then my husband will take leftovers from the night before for lunch. And then my son and I also like really basic, or if there's extra leftovers, we'll have that. But like lunch is like not very
fancy.
I mean, it's not fancy. It's not something I worry about.
Okay.
And then breakfast, I rotate, you know, I do eggs, just like scrambled eggs.
Kids eat eggs? My kids do not eat eggs.
They don't?
No. And it's like the one thing I'm like, oh, if you just ate eggs, there could be so many things we could do, and omelets and this. Yeah. My daughter, it took me years to get her to eat like an egg. And now she eats the egg white, of only a boiled egg. So we'll require the yolk to come out. I'm like, okay, we're making progress here. You know, maybe in two more years, I'll eat the yolk.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they do not eat eggs.
Oh yeah, that's tough, because I think it's really hard to get that protein in at breakfast. Really hard. But I do oatmeal. We do cereal. But again, it's like really low pressure. And like I said before, like if I want to make like pancakes or waffles, I'll make the batter the night before, like when I'm cleaning up dinner.
I love that idea. I love that.
And then you wake up and you're like, oh, all I have to do is cook these.
Heat it up. Yeah. That's so genius. I'm totally going to do that this weekend. What other little nuggets of information do you have for like, so for a lot of people, you know, they are working or they have other things that they're trying to balance out, maybe they're both working parents. So what is your advice so you had mentioned when we were, I think we spoke a while back, but you had mentioned that your friends often came to you to like, because you were able to like cook and do all these things. So like, what's your advice for people that are really busy? Like, do you have really quick meals that you like have a go-to outside the Pinterest thing? Cause that's a really good idea, where it's just like a recipe book that's on hand electronically at any time, which is really nice in the modern day. Mm-hmm. Do you have any like go-to recipes that you can just kind of like dump together in 10 minutes? Like, is that ever a thing for you guys where
100%, you know, you need something
really quick?
Yeah. I will take my girls to Taekwondo and then my son and I go home, because if we can't go in, he tries to do Taekwondo and it's just a disaster. So anyways, can't take him in there. So we run home. I have like 25, 30 minutes to get dinner ready, or I have to go get the girls. And so, yeah, I have like, actually everything I make rarely takes over a half an hour, unless it's something that's baking in the oven. But as far as prep and that kind of thing, like I don't have the time to devote in the kitchen like that. So if both parents are working and they're getting home after getting the kids and it's just like chaotic and the kids are tired, and yeah, that's really, really hard. I would say slow cooker can be your best friend. I don't have an Instapot because it was like overwhelming for me to think about, like, okay, so a whole nother gadget in the kitchen. I'm like so old school. Like, I have a slow cooker. I don't need a Instapot. If I know that our evening is just going to be crazy, those are the days where I like do the slow cooker. And I know that.
So the slow cooker is something though you have to plan kind of ahead of time, right? Where.
Yeah. You have to dump it before you go to work.
Okay. Yeah.
You have to dump it in before you go to work. And I know there are like pretty fancy ones now where you can like set a timer and it'll like change to warm if you
Oh, we did have a slow cooker at one point, but we did move to the Instapot. My husband now is in love with the Instapot. Like almost there's, he can make pasta in an Instapot. I'm like, oh, okay. That's,
yeah. And like the air fryer too. So I think obviously if I was working, I think I would definitely throw things in there. Like the, what is it? The Ninja Foodie is like the Instapot and the air fryer or something. I think as moms, we're just like predisposed to always feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I just made this last week. I feel guilty about that. Like, why? If your kids like it, if your family likes it, why? Who cares? Just make what you know that they like, you know, and try to add in the spinach or, you know, if you're feeling like it's not the healthiest meal, try to incorporate something that's a little bit healthier, you know, or I think my time savers are making those bowls. Like my kids are always like, what's for dinner? And I'll tell them, I'm like, well, it's hard to explain. It's like, you know, it has rice and veggies and meat. And they're like, all in one bowl? So, yes, you know, like this is like what I like to make. But on the days where I haven't planned or, you know, I haven't gone to the grocery store, I will use like rice or pasta as the base. And then if we have protein, I'll cook that up. And I just try to use the seasonings or the flavors that my kids like and yeah. And not be too like extravagant in that area.
So really like it's, you know, it's like simplicity. Like you said, like there is this sort of like underlying guilt or that's always there. That's, there's always like something we haven't done, but we don't focus on what we did do, which is, right. Hey, I got something on the table. It's fine. They like it. And that's fine. And I think that is a message that, I tell other people and I should take that myself, my own advice, but yeah, I mean, simplicity is, I shouldn't say simplicity. There's one thing that I learned about capacity. So I took like this little course on picky eating and the woman there had mentioned, you know, she's like, you really just have to look at what your capacity is. And it's something that seems obvious, but it was a nice sort of validation. If you're in a place where maybe that week is, you know, something happened, you're really busy with work or, you know, there's a lot of external things that happen right in life that in general that you just can't, like you can get a meal and that is okay. And so if that's in your capacity, then that is like you're providing for your kids and it's just a week or it's just a day or it's just even a few months, whatever that time period is, it's okay. And so sometimes we just need like a reminder to say, you're doing a good job. Like it's fine. Like if you have to eat the same thing every single day for like a week, you're like, no, nobody's dying. Like you got your food. And, cause you know, kids, you know, my kids have gotten sick, right? Even when they're sick, they're actually physically not able to eat. And so there will be like a week or something where they're just on a liquid diet and yes, you know, like for that week, it seems really stressful, but they're resilient, you know, they will catch up. And so I think that's the same sort of, you can apply the same concept of like when the parents or when the caregivers are in a place that they can't do something so elaborate of what you think that you need to provide. There's always this like bar of expectations we have for ourselves of what Absolutely. We need to like give to our kids. So
we really do. And think if you're feeling that conviction to make a change, if you're feeling like I'm ready to eat healthier or cook more or whatever it is, give yourself some time to think small, like, and simple, right? What can you do that's not going to overwhelm you? Because I think also for some reason, it feels like with food, if you get overwhelmed or stressed, you really just kind of like freeze up. Or
yeah. Yeah. And so then that's takeout.
Exactly. Exactly. Like if one meal doesn't go well in the kitchen, you're like, well, I'm not a good cook. And now mm-hmm. we're just going to do takeout every night. And it's like, well, no, just try again or try something, a simpler recipe, you know,
or even just try the same. Honestly, like there's yeah, try again, made, try again, literally. Yeah. Like, so I have. It is disappointing. And I guess that's like a lesson we can teach our kids. Like it is disappointing when you sit and you do something and then you're like, either it doesn't turn out or people don't eat it, but yeah, you can try it again. Cause you know, they have those statistics. Like when their kids are just learning to eat, it takes them like 20 times really, like, you know, 10 to 15 times or whatever the number is to really actually like start to like something. And they'll reject it like 15 and then maybe on that 16th time, they'll eat it and they'll love it. So we have to kind of give ourselves the same freedom to fail or not even fail, just the freedom to like keep moving forward and do this, try the same thing again. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And I think when you take off that stress, your whole family will feel that. Yeah. And I think overall it's setting your kids up for a healthier relationship with food. Because I know like food is so powerful and we love food. We love to eat and we celebrate with it. We do all these things with food. Right. But sometimes you just have to like take a step back and be like, well, food isn't life, right? It helps you live, but it's not everything. So just take the pressure off. It's just, you know, if you have to have cereal for dinner, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and like kids love that. Like, yeah, there's so much. It's
the memory even associated with like, oh man, remember when we had dinner, you know, breakfast for dinner? Yeah, no, I think that those are, no, that's the, I mean, I think that's part of the fun part of food, right? Too, where it doesn't have to be, I mean, we joked around like, yeah, what if we make like breakfast for dinner and dinner for breakfast? Like who says you can't eat savory and like dinner foods for breakfast? And
totally.
That's just part of the fun, the exploration part. So
yeah. And you don't have to be conventional. Like you don't.
Exactly.
It's what works for your family, you know? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a really good message. Like making, like not comparing yourself to others and what they can or can't do, because it really is so individual. Like each person's circumstances are very unique. And, you know, somebody might be able to spend an hour in the kitchen. Somebody might be able to spend 15 minutes in the kitchen. You know, it's just really whatever works for you.
Or some kids like all vegetables and some kids don't. And that's okay. Like you can't force your kids every night to eat something they don't like. That's just not going to work. And I don't think that's setting kids up for a good relationship with food in the future when they become adults. And I think just give them time, you know, and if they, for example, if they only like broccoli, if that's the only vegetable they'll eat, well, great.
Give it to them. Right. Give it to just them. Let them have that. Yeah.
And what's really cool is I'll go to the grocery store. I don't usually go to the grocery store with my kids. Like I do a lot of pickup or delivery, but there are times where I'm like, okay, we just need a few things and I'll take them. And they love looking in the produce section and they'll be like, ooh, can we get this? And it'll be like a dragon fruit.
Yeah.
Or they'll be like, what vegetable is this?
A farmer exploratory.
I don't know what that is, but we can try it. So just letting them kind of explore and Oh, I had that reminds me of a really funny story. So we live in North Carolina. We right now, that's not, you know, we're getting ready to move this summer, but our front yard, well, not our front yard, but across the street, there's this like wooded area and someone planted bamboo like a long time ago. So it's like this wooded area, but it has bamboo in the front. And, you know, my kids were like, what is that? What are those? Cause all these kids would come and like take these bamboo stalks and like, I don't know, do sword fights and stuff. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, it's bamboo. And then my daughter like was like, oh, I know bamboo. You can eat it. And I'm like, yeah, it's in like, you know, a lot of Asian dishes and like hot and sour soup and stuff. And we went and got some. They wanted to try it so badly. So I like cut it up and I boiled it and they ate it and they loved it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? If you just like, you know, let them forage for their own food, then they'll be like,
they'll find it. And it's like so satisfying. Hey, we picked this out. That's so funny. Like trying to get them to eat bamboo.
I don't think this is like organic. I don't know what it grew in, but let's try it. Let's just do
hilarious.
This.
That's hilarious. Well, yeah, kids will eat dirt, right? Like every, you know,
I know.
Kind of whatever.
I know.
Well, Allison, this was really great. So I know that you have a podcast yourself. So tell people how they can find you and a little bit of information about, you know, your own kind of food journey and what you do for other people.
Yeah, for sure. So my podcast is Everybody's Gotta Eat. And you can find that on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Amazon Music. Those are the platforms I'm on right now. And every week I just kind of lay out meals for people so they can, you know, take the stress off of thinking of what they're making for dinners next week. Mm-hmm. And I share a recipe and sometimes I share my thoughts on food. Sometimes I share advice or tips or what's worked for me. And sometimes I just like offer that connection that, you know, we're not alone in this.
Yes.
And what you're doing is enough. And mm-hmm. I just want to reach the moms that are like really struggling in the kitchen and just help them.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's so great. I mean, I think that that's, I mean, everybody, I love the name of your podcast, Everybody's Gotta Eat, because it's so true. Like, everybody's gotta eat.
Yes.
And it's such a simple, it's such a simple thing, and yet it's so relevant to everybody, right? And so I really love that. And I do, I mean, we already got a little tip. So if anybody wants to make pancakes this weekend, you know how to do that. Just make the batter ahead of time. I'm totally going to do that. So, this has been really great. Do you want to, I tried to leave parents. So part of this podcast is just connections and leaving people with different wisdoms that, you know, we've picked up. So what are, do you have any, well, A, just in general, do you have anything you want to impart? And then B, do you have, any, I wouldn't say hacks, but tips or things that you like, your go-to things, from a food standpoint or from even in general? It doesn't even have to be food related, but like, what do you want to share? Something that's really useful to you as a mom? That's such a general question, but some people have a really like emphatic, yes, I couldn't live without this, or this has been really helpful for me.
Oh yeah. I think, I mean, we talked about a lot of it, but I think just giving yourself a few minutes at a time, you know, you don't have to sit down and be like, okay, this is going to take me 2 hours. And again, don't compare yourself to other families. If you know that you can't sustain meal prepping every week, don't do it. It's okay. It's okay. You'll figure it out. If you want to eat healthier, if you want to cook healthier for your family, small steps, think small. What can you do? Small changes. Don't overwhelm yourself. And if you're, if you know you need to do takeout, maybe look into the home delivery meals. Yeah. I know that there are some that you literally just pop into the microwave or pop into the oven and it's like done for you. So look into that. If you're feeling like, oh, we go through fast food too much, think of small things that you can change that aren't going to overwhelm you or that you can't sustain.
Yeah. That's the hard part, right? So being able to sustain something. So small steps.
Yes.
No, that's good advice. Yeah. I have to say, with the pandemic, there's been so much evolution in the food industry, right? Where in the grocery industry now, I mean, and I know it existed to some degree before the pandemic, but the fact like there's just so many changes from an app perspective, like I can go grocery shopping on an app and just go pick it up or even get it delivered. And for, you know, without even just work, just like life in general is just so chaotic sometimes that you don't even have time to go to the grocery store, which sounds insane, but it's true. And so if I can just have a like recurring grocery list to just say click and, you know,
oh my gosh,
it's wonderful. Like that's
such a time saver.
Yeah.
Such a time saver. And it can save you money too, because you can get lost in the grocery store and come out and be like, how did I spend that much money?
Yes. Yes. Like, and I do when I, so I don't, I'm not the grocery, like my husband does do the grocery shopping because, you know, he knows what he wants to cook. But when I do go, I'm the type of person who likes to stroll into the aisles and I'm like, this looks good. Or this looks good. Like he can go in and out of a grocery store in 20 minutes, like in and out. Like, I'm like, you know, $300 later, I'm like, oh my gosh, like what in the world did we buy?
And it's all everything that sounds good to you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So don't do that, guys. Well, thanks, Allison. This was such a fun interview. I really like talking to you and learning about kind of how you become an expert in the kitchen. So it's really great. So check out her podcast. It's called Everybody's Gotta Eat. We'll put it in the show notes and you guys can connect with her as well. So this was great, Allison. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Wasn't that a fun and inspiring conversation? Everyone literally does have to eat, and I hope that you got the message that simplicity is probably understated. So go with what your gut is, and if you're struggling with meal plans, check out Allison's podcast, Everybody's Gotta Eat, which we'll also include in the show notes. And please follow, share, and tag the show. We need ratings and reviews that help us get seen through all the masses. And of course, thanks for listening and supporting the show thus far. Until next time, happy connecting.